always on the cutting edge.
Drive time it is, 072-238-0712. That's the WhatsApp number, query, complain, and criticize. Downsizing may present a short-term solution to survival for businesses under the pressure of the coronavirus pandemic. But checking the relevance of value proportions should not be overlooked as a route to longer-term sustainability. What have I just read? I haven't a clue. Online is Senior Lecturer in Managerial Accounting at University of Stellenbosch Business School, Sonia Sully. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you very much, Shafiq. It's lovely to be here with you this afternoon.
All right. Good afternoon. What are we talking about in simple English?
Well, Shafiq, I think with some people at the moment, I think there's a risk for a little bit of a hasty reaction in some cases. I liken it to the story of Goldilocks that we all know so well. You know, Goldilocks was faced with a decision which one of three bowls of porridge to eat. One was too hot, and I think for businesses today, if a reaction is too hot or too hastily imposed, that might not be the best bowl of porridge. Also, if you take the porridge bowl that is too cold, in other words, if you are too far removed from your customer, I think that could also be the wrong decision in this case. But I think if you want to do it just right, there are many things that businesses need to think of for strategic sustainability.
All right, so I mean, where does one go from here? Because, I mean, it's a tough question. How exactly do you decide downsize? And my blood runs cold when I hear that word, because downsizing, to be blunt, means that people are going to lose their jobs.
Absolutely, Shafiq. Yeah, so the way we think about downsizing typically is that the company becomes smaller in size. Now, the difference between downsizing and right-sizing is that rather than downsizing and necessarily going smaller, you think about, firstly, what is it that my customer wants? So you have to think about the value that you're giving to your customer. If that customer's needs is slightly different than before, I mean, for instance, at the moment we are seeing that in the U.S., for instance, the number of people that go digitally in terms of shopping is up by 40%, and that seems to be a sustained level of increase even after the lockdown restrictions are eased. So if I think about what my customer wants, and if I can repurpose my business and my resources to fit that customer need, I might not have to downsize, but I might have to change or right-size that which my business is doing at the moment. So I think it's about thinking creatively and re-strategizing within the resources that you have available.
So could it mean rearranging the furniture inside the room, I'll put it that way?
I love what you're saying, Shafiq. Rearranging the furniture in the room, exactly, that's exactly what it means. For instance, you might be in a factory that does one thing right now, but your customer might need something else. So you could use the same space and just maybe, set up your machines differently to make a product that is slightly more in line with what the customer is feeling in terms of pain. We always talk about try to alleviate the pain of the customers, and customers' pains are different now than it was before. That might mean that you have to repurpose even what your employees do. So somebody might have done one job before, and they might be trained to do something different, but they can still keep their job. So I love that metaphor that you're using about rearranging the furniture in the room.
Right. There's another question that comes out of this, and we have to ask it, is that maybe some businesses didn't have the correct business model before COVID, and COVID has now exposed their inherent weaknesses.
Absolutely, Shafiq. That is, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, I think we are seeing this in South Africa with a number of companies that are now really in trouble. But they seem to be companies that had problems before. If we think about, companies that we saw that Edcon recently filed for bankruptcy protection, you know, we know that they had problems before COVID. Same thing that we're seeing in the print media. I'm seeing that Media 24, Associated Media, Caxton, all of those are shutting down some of their product ranges. But we have known for a while that the print media has had trouble. So I think, as you said, weaknesses are exposed and magnified by this pandemic.
Do you think that what we also need to look at is that surely, as things change, there are new demands, and surely the best way to meet these demands is to see how one can change how one does business, or even change the nature of one's business. I mean, there's been a major migration to online shopping. There's been a major migration to people doing online shopping in the sense that they do grocery shopping online, but it gets delivered via scooter, stuff like that. I mean, it's created a whole industry of people driving around Cape Town, for example, on motorbikes, delivering things.
Shafiq, I think you're absolutely right. I think what your question alludes to is, will we ever go back, or will we go back to things as we perceived them as normal before? And I think the experience worldwide shows that some things might be here to stay for the short, the medium to long term. For example, the way people deal with online shopping. But what's interesting is, even though you would think that most businesses are geared for online shopping or online services, a recent survey showed that 80% of customers actually abandon their online products because of bad experiences or non-user-friendly platforms, which is amazing. So I think there's a massive opportunity for companies to do better. If we just think about the business-to-business service or product delivery, a survey by Forrester recently showed that 56% of business-to-business customers, so that's where the big money is, say that they will pay more for a better experience online. But if they don't have a good experience, they will not go to the same business again. So I do think there's a lot to be done. And another thing that our listeners might find interesting is a survey by Gareth Whale showed that 54% of the top UK decision makers, so those are your top executives in the UK, have no understanding how their online operations work. Now, if you have your decision makers that don't understand the online structure, then you have a problem. So I think there's a huge gap. And us as South Africans, you know, we are a creative bunch, and I think we can get it right.
Yeah, in fact, it's quite startling to see that you've got management not knowing what they're talking about. I suppose several industries might argue that management doesn't know what they're talking about. Do you think that this also calls for challenges in the sense that maybe managements of businesses need to get onto the shop floor and actually see what is it that customers are looking for? What is it that customers are complaining about? And what is it that that is pleasing them?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think at this stage, where we find ourselves is really in a position where it's really about communication. And it's communication throughout the whole, what we call the value chain. So your value chain is, yes, you need to know what's happening in the mind of your customer or your consumer, but you also have to look at your entire value chain. That's your suppliers and your customers. Everything you must almost see as an extension of your own business. So it's the time to talk to suppliers. We see that so many companies have trouble getting the resources, the raw materials that they need to produce their products and goods. So almost seeing your suppliers as an extension of yourself, but that takes real communication and planning. So yes, management needs to get down to ground level, get their hands dirty, roll up their sleeves and jump right in.
Do you think when we look at the situation, everybody talks about the new normal? I mean, I don't like these cliches. I just like to think that things have just changed full stop. Do you think that we need to sit down and realize that past models are probably in the short to medium term at least no longer going to be applicable. And to use a cliche, the game has changed, but we can't afford to be negative about it.
Absolutely, Shafiq. And I think what you're saying is so true. And what makes it relatable, I think, is that in the whole world, people are in exactly the same boat. So, you know, I think as South Africans, we are a resilient bunch. You know, we always have some crisis to face, whether it is load shedding or, yeah, in the Cape, we have a water crisis. We are used to obstacles in our way. But now we see the whole world being in the same boat. And I think what's amazing is to really, this is the time to make sure that you read about what other companies are doing. For instance, what we're seeing in the U.S. supermarket group Whole Foods, what they did is they turned some of their physical store locations into what we call dark stores. So they repurposed the normal stores into semi-warehouses for online ordering. And that really helped because customers could do curbside collections. Because what they realized, there's such a bottleneck in the need for online delivery of groceries, etc., but customers have cars, so they are willing to stop by the Whole Foods store, have an employee bring out the package that they ordered online, and then take it home with them in their car. So being creative and learning lessons from other companies that are facing the same challenges worldwide, I think this is key. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel here. Just need to be very sharp and look at what's happening elsewhere, how are other businesses adopting their business models, and implement this in our unique South African context.
Sonia, do you think in South Africa we are being creative enough in terms of what we're discussing, in terms of businesses trying very hard to survive?
That is a very good question, Shafiq. I've noticed here where I live in some of the West, if I drive up and down Main Road, I see a lot of small business closures, which is really concerning. But then again, when you go to the larger shopping malls, even though the feet traffic isn't there, I get the sense that businesses are staying open. I'm seeing lots of interesting specials. I'm seeing lots of interesting synergies between, you know, businesses working together. I'm seeing very interesting just offers out there. So I think that I really have faith in our South African community. I speak to a lot of people running small businesses, and to hear the stories and to hear what they come up with is just inspiring to me. So yes, I think we have the goods. We are geared for this type of, give us trouble and we will get out of it.
Indeed. Sonia Selee, Senior Lecturer at SUBS, which is a Stellenbosch University Business School. That's what it's short for. Thanks for chatting to us. Stay safe.
Thank you, Shafiq. Nice to chat to you too.